This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
I know you're out there
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. Rutherford County Sheriff Robert Arnold is with us this morning. Robert, good morning to you.
Good morning, sir. How are you doing this morning?
Doing great. Good to have you with us today. Well, it is a beautiful day out there.
Yes, it is.
And right now, I think, what is it, 76 degrees outside? Just about right.
Yeah. It didn't seem too muggy this morning.
No, it's really not. Great weather out there. And you brought a friend with you.
Yes, I brought Lieutenant Chris Deal from the jail. He's kind of our jack of all trades, dealing with the programs. He deals with drug court. He does the disciplinary review board at the jail. He does a little bit of everything. He does. He gets all the inmates there whenever they're doing legal research on their own cases. He has to do the research and then get it back to them. So he wears many hats at the jail.
Boy, so you've learned how to burn the candle at both ends.
Yes, sir.
Right now, I know, I guess, one of your big challenges at the jail is the fact that you don't have a kitchen. That sort of makes it difficult. And
yes.
That's been, what is it, a year almost?
By the time we open, it will be closed a year.
Okay.
From what I understand, last time I talked to the guys building it, it's about a week ahead of schedule, but it's nice. Naturally, whenever we get it all open, we're going to do another open house. So we'll, naturally ask the commissioners to come over, but then we'll ask the public. We'll be doing an open house about that time for the citizens to come in and take a tour of the jail. So we can show that off and then also just take a tour of the jail.
Now, when do you think that's going to be officially completed?
It'll probably officially completed. Their official complete date has to be October 1 is what the contract said. So we're hoping maybe around, maybe October 10th or maybe 15th, something like that, we'll actually do an open house in the jail.
Mm-hmm.
We try to do two a year. Is my goal is to do two a year and just invite the people of the county to come out and view their jail and see what the operations are at the sheriff's office. I've been wanting to, our doors are wide open to everybody because we work for them.
Are they really wide open to everybody?
Well, they're not really wide open except when we prop them open and invite everybody in. But
Lieutenant Deal had a strange look on you. If they're wide open, you can enter and
leave.
Yeah,
no, we have to have secure facilities, but there are times that when we can do an open house and we naturally have to staff that because we are a secure facility. We don't want people just walking out. So,
imagine they would like to walk out.
There's quite a few that would love to just walk out. I got a phone call from a parent the other day just begging me to let her son be an outside trustee.
Do you have control over that?
Yes.
Okay.
Actually, Chris Deal has control over that too. He reviews kind of what their charges are and their classification.
What determines whether they're inside or outside?
Their charges, their history while they're inside the jail with the staff members. That way, make sure they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, not gambling or fighting or, causing any kind of flack because they're a reflection of me. And just go from there. You just hope you pick the right one. Knock on wood, we hadn't had one run off yet, so that's always a positive.
Do you have some of the inmates come back to you down the road and say, I hate to say this, but I needed this, and I am a better person now?
Yes, sir, and I get that, and we also get that a lot in drug court as well. I'm the liaison there, and you have some that do and some that don't. The biggest thing is, you try to guide them, but, we try to give them more leeway, and try to get them back in society. That's the ultimate goal, and stop the recidivism rate. So.
Now, is drug court open to male and female inmates, or because it seems like they're mostly women who go through there?
Well, there's males and females. It's about half and half, I want to say. We meet on Mondays, and of course, you know, Judge Ash is leaving, and Judge Bragg is going to take over as far as being the presiding judge over it, and it's a really good program.
Oh, it's phenomenal. Yes, sir. I mean, this is one thing, and I guess you can see the difference probably more than anybody else. We hear how much it reduces recidivism, and we hear statistics, but numbers are one thing, and you see that it really is working.
I do, because I'm 6'11", and everybody sees me at Walmart, and, you know, and it's good to see people, you know, that you've dealt with, you know, in drug court and in jail, you know, and they're actually being a productive member of society. You know, that's the ultimate goal for us. I mean, I've been doing it 15 years, and that's what we want to see.
I had the great opportunity of going through the Sheriff's Citizens Police Academy, and I had never really known too much about the officers who were in the jails. I never really thought about it much. But after meeting them and seeing what they do, I have a whole new respect for this profession. These people are unable to carry weapons because the inmates obviously would probably try to take them from you. Mm-hmm. And you have to defend yourself with your hands. And we spoke at that time with several of the officers in the Rutherford County Adult Detention Center who had most of their bones broken at some time or another in their life. Is that still true? It's a rough job, it sounds like.
Well, I think with the jail, it's the thankless job of law enforcement. People don't really think about it. When they lay their heads down at night, there's about 25 officers in the jail that are keeping them safe from the inmates that are locked up in that jail. That there's people working inside that jail 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, no matter what's going on, holiday-wise or celebration-wise in the country. We have to staff that facility, and we keep our community safe. So those officers are in there, and they put up with a lot, because you think about a police officer, and I used to tell the guys, the new guys coming on, actually the toughest job in law enforcement is a jailer or a guard at the state prison. And because when you're walking around amongst the inmates, you're walking around 100% criminal element. But when you're a police officer out here on the street and you're just walking down the street, you know, 98% of the society you come across, they're good guys. You know, they're just doing their thing to do, get their job done, and they want to go home to their family. They don't want to bother anybody. But when you're walking around in a jail, you got people that don't want to be there. And sometimes they would love to hurt you to get out. So that's a big thing for the officers that work in the jail.
I tell you, our hats off to them. That's a whole group of people that we need to all be very appreciative of. And you know, probably 99% of the people are like I was, and you don't even think about them. You don't know about
it. A lot of people in the community don't even think about the jailers that work in the jail.
Well, they have no clue that that's going on.
No, out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah. It's sort of like I was having trouble a long time ago, with a car that I had purchased. And I would go into the dealership, and the mechanics would say, oh, man, this car, we have problems all the time with this car. And then somebody else told me, he said, you shouldn't listen to that guy. The only cars he sees are this brand of cars, and the only time he sees them is when they're broken.
Yeah.
So that's what you're over there, and your guys are seeing nothing but bad.
Yes.
Does that impact?
It does. It affects them quite a bit. I get several complaints, and I remember being a detention officer myself. Mm-hmm. You know,
so you actually did this job.
Yes, and thank God I did this job, because the way I refer to it about my job is, you know, luckily I was kind of in all aspects of my job pretty much, except for the management level, and then kind of thrown into it. But the jail, the way I consider it, it's an 800-pound gorilla. It can carry you where it wants to, when it wants to. And luckily with my knowledge of the workings of the jail, that's helped me tremendously with my job, because I can do any job. I still go back there every so often. I'll pat down inmates. I'll send them upstairs. I'll move them around the facility when it needs to be done. But those officers, especially booking, you know, an officer out here on the street, they go out and they arrest, you know, John Q. Citizen for, you know, whatever. And they say they're very combative, they're drunk, you know, they're on drugs, whatever. And they want to fight. And they wanted to fight that police officer on the street. Well, then they get in the jail. And now you've confined them into a certain area, and then they want to fight. They want to spit on people. They, you know, they just want to act out. And so, therefore, those booking officers and some people in the jail. Now, hopefully, by the time they get upstairs, they've calmed down. They've come off the drugs. They've, you know, whatever. But the booking officers, it's so stressful of a job that, you know, I've had numerous people over the years that have had trouble in their marriages because the only thing they do is they deal with these people. They come in and it just everything bad and they're so stressed out, and then they go home and they take it out on their family. And that's the hard part about our job, is knowing when to turn it on and turn it off, because you deal with it so much that it's hard to, you know, to do that at times. You know, naturally every so often we have problems with officers that, you know, they get in trouble, what, you know, but everybody's still human. You know, the officers and people that come into jail, and that's my biggest thing I preach to everyone at roll call when I go into the different roll calls. And I always remind them in every staff meeting, I remind my guys, you know, treat everyone like you want to be treated, because everybody that comes into our jail is someone's mother, father, brother, sister, aunt, uncle. Treat them the way you want your family treated, until the point they won't let you. You know, sometimes you have to do things, you know, to get them compliant. But, you know, you only use as much force as necessary to get the job done. You don't do anything more, you know, don't do it. Remember, that's somebody's family member. So that's the way that we look at it, or and I try to instill it into all the guys. You know, it is a very stressful job. You know, you have people all day long, you know, they want you to, you know, do this for them, do that for them. You know, they're always got different things going on, and it's some things are legitimate because they are incarcerated, and so therefore they have to depend on the detention staff to provide certain things for them. You know, we wash their clothes for them, we bring them their medication, we bring them their food.
You're the parents.
Yeah, we're the parents. You know, and I had one guy, this is way back when I was a jailer, last name was Irish. And it was the little brother, because I know Chris knows who I'm talking about. I mean, he actually told me he wanted to be in jail. He said, I live like a millionaire. He said, I just have to give up a few things. He says, I have to give up girls, and I have to give up, you know, not going out and partying and all that. He said, but you bring my food to me, my medication, you do my laundry, you know, you take care of me and everything that I need. And I just sit right here.
Do you see that often?
No, not really. He's kind of stuck into my head because I knew his older brother growing up, that he had that mentality. But you think about it in some ways. I mean, that it is true of how we have to provide things. You know, a lot of people always want to know, you know, just feed them bread and water and, you know, throw them out in tents and, you know, Tennessee state law does not allow us to do like a tent city like they've done out, because our climate is so much different. And also, you know, the Eighth Amendment to the Constitution has so many different protections for inmates' rights. We have to protect them. We have to feed them, clothe them. We have to keep our facilities at certain temperatures. You know, they have to have hot water and cold water. You know, there's so many rules that are set out that I have to follow as the sheriff of the county in keeping the inmates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the county jail actually belongs to the county commission. My job is to run it for them, and I take whatever needs are for the facility. I take it to the commission, and then they decide what it needs, or they decide whether they want to fund it or not. But we have certain criteria that we have to follow by state minimum standards.
Would it be fair to say that in a perfect world, your goal as the head of the Rutherford County Adult Detention Center, the head of the Sheriff's Department, is to change these inmates so that they will be good citizens and fit back into society?
That is my personal goal.
A perfect world.
Yes, that's a perfect world. You know, and I've said it on here many times, and I say it everywhere. You know, you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. You teach a man a fish, you feed him for life. You know, and that's what we try to do with the different programs that we have at the sheriff's office. You know, over since I've taken office, we've had to cut programs, or the commission has cut programs they didn't want to fund. You know, and we've gone out and tried to find different ways of getting, you know, like Franklin Road Baptist Church involved in the facility. You know, several of the Baptist churches, others around the community. We have lots of community involvement in certain areas. It's mainly through the churches. But then, like our garden program, you know, Ms. Minner and the guys out there, they've done tremendous jobs this year. And we haven't been putting that food back into the jail this year because our kitchen's down. So we've been giving it to places like Habitat for Humanity, the Salvation Army, different charitable Meals on Wheels, you know, and that stuff's actually going back into the community this year. Next year, we plan on bringing all of it back into the jail, and I want to weigh it out, and I want to be able to tell everyone how many poundage, you know, that we've brought back into the jail. But it is with those type programs that you hope that someone will take part of it and get something out of it and go back to society and want to change their life. But again, another old saying, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. We can teach these people or try to get them involved in it. And we got some people that don't want to have anything to do with it, you know, and you know, that's their choice. They have that choice. Naturally, we all wish that they would get involved and see another light to everything, but, you know, it's their choice not to.
Now, Lieutenant Deal, you're in charge of the jail, and so you're on the front line, so to speak. You're seeing what works, what doesn't work. You're seeing, are these people getting interaction with their family who are on the outside, which I guess is important. I mean, to have encouragement, you certainly don't want to be in there forgotten. That would go the wrong way. What do you see of all the things that we don't have enough of, that we really need to turn these inmates into even better citizens when they get out?
Well, so they need more programs. Excuse me. As the sheriff said, you know, we had to cut back some of our programs because of our kitchen and, of course, the funding from the county commission. That's the biggest thing. I mean, programming. Programming is our number one thing right now as far as, like, trying to get the recidivism down because, I mean, you have to teach them. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of these people can't even write a check, you know, or know how to balance a checkbook or, you know, any kind of productive member in society. So, I mean, you have to have that. I've got one girl that has a first grade reading level, and Miss Marcia Shoney, who you know well, she's actually tutoring her how to read. You know, how that slipped through, we'll never know, but we really need a lot more programming. And right now, of course, we're limited with space, but, you know, it'll all open up and, you know, try to get some more programming in there.
So when you say programming, we're talking about basic education.
Yes, sir.
The low end on it.
You know, and that's one thing at times I've tried to talk to commissioners about is, you know, we provide so much for the school system for education wise, but sometimes we need some of that education back at the jail because yet, you know, some people didn't take part or want to choose to soak that up when they were in school. And so now they've gone to jail and now they're actually kind of wanting to. They're in a point to where, okay, I understand now, you know, it's kind of like that old saying, you'll wish you would have done this or that, you know, back when you were in school. When you get older, you'll wish you took those classes. Mm-hmm. And you get that whenever they come to jail.
Yeah, Chris?
Just this year alone, we have 43 people graduate from the GED program.
Wow.
And that's one of the tops in the state. And adult ed, Ronnie Hayes and Mr. Joe, I mean, they're great. And, you know, 43 people to get their GED while they're incarcerated, that says a lot with everything going on. I mean, that's amazing.
That is phenomenal.
And over the history of it, I think we've had over 400 people graduate, 500 people graduate from the jail to get their GED. I think the closest was Knox County, and they hadn't even had 100 yet since their thing has been in.
And certainly
creation.
A bigger jail, I would guess.
Yeah. They're the second largest jail in the state.
Knoxville?
Knoxville. You have Shelby County, then Knox County, then Davidson County, and then us.
So they have a lot more crime over there. I mean, certainly not the second largest county.
Well, it's not land mass-wise, but
population
they are.
No, they couldn't be the same.
Shelby
would be first. Davidson would be second.
No, Knox. Last thing I remember seeing was Knox.
I can't.
And then it was.
I can't imagine.
And then it was Davidson.
That.
You may be correct.
I don't know. I just can't imagine Knox County being more population than Davidson. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I voted for you, and I thank God that you're in there helping these guys get their life straight. But if you would you see if that each one of them gets a Bible?
They have. They have Bibles in there. If they request a Bible, we'll get them a Bible. Uh-huh. That's not a, you know, the, like, Franklin Road Baptist, all the different churches that are involved. I hate keep going to them, but they will provide Bibles to anybody and everybody. As soon as they request one, we have a chaplain that will bring them a Bible. So the only thing the inmate has to do is request a Bible, and a Bible will be provided to them.
Okay, also, another thing, they were having a problem with the hot water at one point and the air conditioning, but it may be where they're building a new kitchen. Were you aware of that?
Yes, actually, I brought that up to the commission there at budget time. Those two things were kind of cut there at the last of the budget, and we've got a plan to try to fix both of those. I mean, they're both limping on, and, you know, we'll eventually have to fix them. So, you know, it just goes, you know, to the point, you know, the commission has been advised. I told them, you know, even after we cut it out of the, or it was cut out of the budget, I formally gave them paper documentation saying that, you know, we have these problems, so just be prepared for it. So whenever we have to come back and request the money, you know, we don't want to get beat up and all that about having to request the money.
Okay, one more question. Like, when one of the people get sick or whatever, do they charge for them to see a nurse or whatever?
Yes, Dr. Rudd is the medical provider for the jail. The jail has a fee. I think it's $5 or $7 they have to pay to go see a doctor while they're in jail, kind of like a copay.
Okay, so it's Dr. Woods, you say?
Yes, he's the doctor for the jail.
Okay. Well, thank God that you're in there. I voted for you. You're doing a wonderful job, and we're glad to have you.
Well,
you're doing a wonderful job.
Well, thank you, ma'am. I hope I can count on your support next time.
All right.
Thanks for calling.
Mm-hmm.
Bye. 893-1450. We have some folks on the line. If you'll hold on, you will be coming up next. We're going to check on the traffic and weather, and we'll be right back talking about the Rutherford County Adult Detention Center, talking about the Sheriff's Office. Sheriff Robert Arnold is with us, along with Lieutenant Chris Deal, who is in charge of the jail here in town. We'll be right back.
Take your records, take your freedom, take your memories, I don't need them. Take your space and take your reasons, but you'll think of me. And take your cat and leave my sweater, cause we have nothing left to weather. In fact, I feel a whole lot better, but you'll think of me.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, TV 11, WGNS, Murfreesboro. We cover Rutherford County. ABC News covers the world.
Ford of Murfreesboro has just been named the number one Shelby Cobra dealership in the United States. Test drive the Shelby Cobra that has the all-new supercharged 5.8-liter V8. Ford of Murfreesboro was also named the number three dealer in the U.S. for selling the Mustang Roush. Come test drive and take home a new 540-horsepower Stage 3 Mustang from Roush today. Ford of Murfreesboro, your Roush and Cobra headquarters. On Broad at Northfield Boulevard and online at fordofmurfreesboro.com.
Hello, I'm Greg Tidwell from Bell Jewelers. We carry the full line of Tag Heuer watches, all at 15% off every day. Our in-house watch technicians will replace the batteries and pressure test all Tag watches for half the price of other stores in our area. Bring it into Bell Jewelers.
Bell Jewelers on Broad Street in Murfreesboro, across from Toots.
Quality automotive repair and diagnostics with service you can trust. Nationwide guarantee. Call 896-1407. Roberts Discount Auto Repair on Broad, across from Ford of Murfreesboro. We care, and we're here to help.
Good morning once again. I-24 westbound. Bit of congestion there around the Hickory Hollow Parkway exit. Also, as you make your way into Midtown Nashville, the junction there around Fessler's Lane, I-40 west and I-24 west. Lots of congestion moving through there. We have traffic easing a bit on Old Fort Parkway at Kaysen Lane, I-24 at 96 and I-24 at 231. Get a $39 introductory massage at Massage Envy today. Gift cards available for any occasion. Massage Envy, Cool Springs, Bellevue, Brentwood, and Green Hills. I'm Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
Thank you, Randy. What about that Murfreesboro weather? Brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms in the forecast today. Otherwise, partly sunny skies. We're at 93 degrees for your high with the wind out of the west-northwest. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Felluber. Right now, 77.
I'm Steve Smith at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. Our people are different from others. We give the personal service. We're here to answer the telephone. We're just personal hometown banking at First National Bank, Murfreesboro, member FDIC.
Broadcasting to every nook and cranny of Rutherford County's 618 square miles. FM 100.5, 101.9, and AM 1450.
Drenched in my pain again, becoming who we are. As my memory rests, but never forgets what I lost. Wake me up when September ends.
Welcome back. Our number is 893-1450. We're looking at Law and Order this morning, 893-1450, if you want to connect this morning. Rutherford County Sheriff Robert Arnold, along with Lieutenant Chris Deal, who is in charge of the Rutherford County Adult Detention Center. They're both with us today to talk with you. 893-1450. Dial quickly. Don't wait till the show ends to call. And let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Doing well, thank you.
Good. Glad to have you with us.
Yes. I got a question about when they bonding out. Is there ever a case where someone who gets bonded out, can they refuse to be bonded out and stay incarcerated if they are bonded out? The reason why I ask you is there's been cases like this Jerry Sandusky situation. I'm not talking about him particularly, but other cases like this where the family members have wanted to bond out the alleged perpetrator of those type of crimes in order to do harm to them, and they may want to refuse to be released due to that reason. Is there ever a time where they can if they are bonded out, they can won't stay incarcerated rather than be released due to that reason? And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for calling.
We've never had that situation happen, but I imagine if they refuse to sign the bond book, which is something they're held to, that goes actually back to the General Sessions judges or the circuit court judges, I believe that, they would not make bond. Don't quote me on it, but if you want to give me a call, I can find out for sure.
I get when you say sign a bond book, is that saying that I will adhere to the regulations and I will be back? I will be in court when you ask me to?
I will appear in court in front of whichever judge you're supposed to.
And so if you don't sign that, you're saying, hey, I might not do that.
Right, exactly. It kind of holds you civilly and, I guess, criminally to that, actually showing up. If you didn't, of course, you issued a failure to appear, or what we call a capias.
Okay. 893-1450 is our phone number. I guess, this is such a high-tech world. Everybody's using the smartphones to text each other and check the weather radar and all that stuff. I understand that you even have an app for the jail, for the sheriff's office.
Yes, we found a app with Google. Where you can download the app. If you go to Google and type in Rutherford County, I believe it is, it has an app that you can download, which go to Google Play Store, actually, and there's an app that you can download. You can see who all has been booked into the jail in the last 24 hours. You can search for warrants on there, and there is a lot more coming. On there that you can see what's going on with the jail. We'll be able to actually post stuff on there. There'll be like a message board All this is provided to us by Google for free. Now they sell advertising at the very bottom, like most free apps have. So, you know, you may end up seeing eventually like Bondsman or whoever start to advertise there, but they have nothing to do with the sheriff's office. All this information that's going on there is open to the public anyway. Actually, a lieutenant was telling me we had one lady who, I guess, downloaded it, and her son was incarcerated in jail, and I guess it does provide addresses on there. All that stuff already is, if any citizen comes into the jail and files a information request, all that is information open to the public. We're not allowed to keep anything except for maybe driver's license numbers, social security numbers, redacted. So when it comes to the information on there, it is open to the public, and so we started that, and hopefully we're going to get our website. That's been a big goal of mine. If you recall, when I was campaigning, I kept talking about getting us into the 21st century. I can see the door now.
Mm-hmm. We're walking slowly.
Yeah, we're walking slowly towards it, and we're trying to get there. And every
Chris
step forward,
has the key.
Yes,
is
Chris,
he going to get
Chris
it?
Chris has one of the keys. We all have several keys, and we have been working towards that goal, and this is one of them. And from what I understand, the iPhone should be coming out with the app within the next couple of months.
Well, let's go back to the phones. 893-1450 is our phone number. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
I'm close.
Good. Better than, you know, not quite on target.
Yeah, good morning, you know, sir.
I watch Murfreesboro and Nashville and a place called the United States.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a shame, Bart, how the judicial system is so messed up. And I tell it anyway. You know, they said everyone's born equal. That's a lie. You know, and they say they treat everybody equal. That's another lie. And our jailhouses, mm-hmm. prison systems, really terrible. It's about money. They privatized those places to make money. So that means, in order to get tax dollars, you have to keep them full. So the United States have more people locked up than anywhere in the world. And I heard the lady say something about giving them Bibles. No. Giving people a Bible is the same trick that the devil is using every day on the people out here walking the street. Walking the streets. If you're not going to teach them, giving them a Bible, what does that mean?
It's sort of like leading the horse to water. It's like leading the horse to water, like Sheriff Arnold said a minute ago. You can give it to them, but you can't make them read it. And even if you read it to them, they have to put it in their heart.
But to the sheriff and your friend,
mm-hmm.
what I've seen, the judicial system in America, like in Murfreesboro, let me ask you something, Sheriff. You remember when the kid was murdered in the jailhouse?
When what?
From Memphis.
A kid in Memphis was murdered
in
Memphis?
No, in Murfreesboro. It happened in Murfreesboro. They were from Memphis.
I remember when the gentleman died at the jail.
Okay.
You know,
was his family compensated for that?
I think that the county did something with that, but that was actually before me.
Well, I'm coming from what the people is talking about this, that what it is, our tax dollars are going to these things, but what the Daily News John does and the system does, have a tendency to want to cover up stuff. And they know as long as we cover it up for a certain length of time, the public will just forget about it. I know two or three incidents that happened in Murfreesboro that the family was paid, but they told the family not to mention it. And I think that's really sad, because you make it seem like, yes, we taking care of everything, and it doesn't happen. But if you're paying these people on the table,
you're saying that that's what you call quiet money.
No, what it's called is really, well, I'm not gonna tell you what it's called. But anyway, you know, I'm just saying, you're making money off of people being locked up, America. And I think that's terrible.
Does that go on?
No, not that I know of. I mean, we have the private jails.
CCA.
CCA, yeah. Corrections Corporation of America. You know, there are some counties that contract with these places. Even the state of Tennessee contracts with local jails, some of the local jails.
Yes, sir.
And it does. In one way, I kind of see what he's talking about, but yet the other argument to it takes money to run anything. There is nothing out here that's free. I mean, it, you know, even the government assistance to people that can't afford it, you know, for housing or for food, it costs somebody. It costs me as a taxpayer. It costs you as a taxpayer. So, yes, there's money involved in everything we do in society. It's just the nature of the beast. That's how our society is set up.
Right. The government doesn't have a factory and sell goods.
Yeah, no.
Somebody's paying.
I got a problem with it because you're taking my tax dollars and really... You're arresting people that have no business really being locked up.
Well, and this is one thing that I gave an interview the other day, and unfortunately it's the truth, but no one really thinks about it. I'm my own worst enemy when it comes, and some people will really agree with that, but once I explain it, they'll know. As the sheriff of the county, the citizens of this county, everywhere I go, they tell me they want to see more officers. I want to see y'all running radar. I want tickets wrote here. You know, we have this going on over here. Come and take these people to jail. So we, as the sheriff's office, Murfreesboro City, Smyrna, Laverne, and Eagleville, we have our citizens telling us, we have crime. Come get these element out of our community. Well, then we put them in the jail, and this is where I become my own worst enemy. We put them in jail. Well, we fill up the jail, and then I, as the sheriff who runs the jail, has to go back to the county commission and say, commissioners, the jail is full. I need another facility, or I need to do this, or we need to buy more mattresses for inmates. I need to buy more clothing for inmates, and I'm going to need, you know, everything we do at the sheriff's office is not cheap because we are such a large operation. And then, of course, the commissioners and all that, you know, they want to argue the point. But yet everyone wants to be hard on crime, but then when it comes to putting money into a jail, nobody wants to put money into a jail because it's a hole. You're just throwing your money away when you're putting it into a jail, because people don't see getting something out of it. There's nothing that they can take away and go, I've got a good county jail, you know. And so people don't want to spend the money. But yet they want us as law enforcement to be tough on crime. Get this element off our street. Get these drug dealers out of here. You know, people are running me off the road. You know, different things. And so we do that. But then when I, as the sheriff, have to go in front of the commission and say, hey, we've got these medical issues. Because naturally, we don't arrest. Yeah, the majority of the people we arrest aren't so healthy. So they go to jail, and then we have to detox them. I would say 95% of the people that come to jail, we immediately have to put into an area within the jail, and we have to put them on detox where they're coming off of alcohol or coming off some sort of drugs. And that's expensive. That's very expensive. But we have to do it. You know, we have to keep up with these people. And that's why I say, you know, in a lot of ways, I'm my own worst enemy, because I have to go serve warrants. I have to go out and arrest people, put them in jail, and then I've got to go to the county and go, hey, I need more money for the jail.
And then once you fill the jail up, you have calls like this who say, why are all these people in jail?
Yeah, why are all these people in jail?
Can you all hear me?
That's what you said, right?
But can you all hear me?
Yes, sir. Yeah,
okay, let's look at the numbers. We've been fighting the same war. I mean, when Truman was in there, we're doing the same thing nationwide. You understand this? And you're making it seem as though...
Oh, I agree with you. The statistics show that the United States incarcerates more of its citizens than any other country in the world. Yeah, you are correct there. I mean, we do incarcerate more of our citizens.
But if what we're doing is not working, similar to the war in Iraq, that joke over there and all around that place over there, we make everybody seem like they're the bad guys. If what we're doing is not working, that's all I'm saying.
Well, and I understand what you're saying. It has to be changed at a state level. That's where your state representatives and your senators come in, because I have to enforce the laws that they create.
I understand. I know I'm not getting on you.
Oh, I know that. I know that. I'm just trying to explain it.
You're just making us think. Now, when we have our state senators and state representatives back on the radio, you need to call and twist their arm.
Yes.
I understand. You know,
don't be bashful. Don't be bashful.
Y'all have a good one now.
You too, sir.
Bye-bye. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
I'm doing just fine.
Good.
I wanted to comment on what that gentleman was saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for everyone that's in the prison, did you send them an invitation to come? I didn't.
No.
And I know, I've been there, and it starts at the home. If we don't start at the home, and making parents responsible for the actions of their children, then your jails are going to continue to fill up until you're going to have to build more and more. And I think it's time for everyone, every citizen, to start taking responsibility for their own actions. Otherwise, they're going to get an invitation, so to speak, for their child. Been there, done that. Hmm. It's not fun. Hmm. It's embarrassing. And you say, where did I go wrong? I don't know, but some of these people I have seen that I do know where they go wrong. They don't make their children mind. They don't make their adult children even have responsibility. So it all stems back to the family. Until we fix that, your jail's going to continue to be filled from what it is now to complete capacity. And I think you're doing a good job. And I thank you for it. And I thank you too, Mr. Bart, for
thank
having
you.
Him on.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I tell you, that she put it there,
yeah.
where it should be.
Yes.
But she's been down that road. And you could feel that pain.
Yeah.
Well, you can't add anything else to that. We'll be right back. What are your thoughts? 893-1450.
I can't keep my eyes off of you.
Middle Tennessee's home for the Atlanta Braves. WGNS, Murfreesboro. FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, TV 11.
Heritage South Community Credit Union now has a new home, 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire.
This is Darlene Robinson, branch manager. I invite you to visit us soon and find out what your community's credit union is all about. We offer free debit cards and great checking, plus exceptional rates on loans and savings. You can join if you live, work, worship, or attend school in Rutherford, Bedford, or Marshall County.
Heritage South Community Credit Union, new offices at 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire. Federally insured by the NCUA.
The other day I was visiting with Bell Furniture. I dropped by to say hello to Perry and Linda and just had a ball. We sat there and enjoyed a conversation in one of those big leather recliners. Boy, that was so comfortable. Listen, they also, if you have, perhaps many of you are putting in these theater rooms in your home. Perry has a double recliner, side by side. Built together. They're rocker recliners with a little table type thing in the middle of them. Beautiful. Leather, gorgeous material. You need to sit in it. Once you do that, once you go over to Bell Furniture and try some of the furniture, you're going to say, not only is that beautiful, but I need to have that. And you won't believe the prices. He has the lowest prices. You've heard us talking about this for years, how Perry Bell knows, and it's common sense. First of all, if you buy in trailer truckload quantities, you're going to get things at a lower price. Secondly, if you put them out in just a big room, it costs you less money. You go into some furniture stores and you feel as if you're walking into a decorator magazine. I mean, it's beautiful. It's gorgeous. But that costs a lot of money. And that's added onto the furniture. You walk into Bell Furniture, and it's, if you want to look at sofas, there's a big room full of sofas, all side by side. You can sit in them, look at them, touch them, feel them. Same with the dining room sets, the bedroom furniture. But that saves you money. And then there's only two people there, Perry and Linda, the low overhead. Even more ways to save. It's about half price every day, sometimes less. At Bell Furniture, and Perry says, and he's proud of this, all of our furniture is American-made. So why go anywhere else? Head over to Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna. Bell Furniture.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms in the forecast today, otherwise partly sunny skies. We're at 93 degrees for your high with a wind out of the west-northwest. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Feluber. Right now, 77.
Look up in the sky. There it is. The tallest tower in Murfreesboro. This is WGNS, FM, AM, and worldwide at WGNSradio.com.
And I look back at you. You tried to say things that you can't.
Our number is 893-1450. We have about 5 minutes left, so if you have any questions, if you have any comments, call quickly. 893-1450. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Sheriff Robert Arnold. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I called earlier and asked that the Bibles be... Okay, so you can't make a horse drink, right? But for the horses that want to drink, let them drink, okay? That's all I was saying.
That's a good
one. And anything the man wants to know about whatever takes place is public record. So he needs to go to the courthouse and spend a day and read. And he can find out a lot of information that way instead of assuming stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the Bibles, for those who want to drink, let them drink.
Thank you for calling.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Are there any Bible studies or anything of that sort at the Adult Detention Center?
Yes, sir. We have numerous Bible studies from different facilities such as New Vision, Franklin Road, etc. Mm-hmm. Well, the Church of Christ churches. Many denominations come in. And most of our, like I said, most of our programs are faith-based. The Reformers Unanimous, some stuff similar like that. So, I mean, we have a lot of religious stuff in there.
Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS.
My wife and I managed to get out and see the beam out there at the complex out there on Old Salem, New Salem mm-hmm. Highway.
Mm-hmm.
Very impressive.
That's
very stunning to think about. Very
right.
Remembering a very sad day.
Absolutely. And for people who are listening and don't know what you're talking about, that is a beam from the Twin Towers in New York City that was downed on 9/11. We have an actual beam from that structure, and it is being incorporated into
a monument at the
yeah.
sheriff's office that should be completed by 9/11 this year. We've got a Eagle Scout that is doing a project, and he's landscaping and doing several things, and we've had several companies throughout the county that have donated their time and money for the project. I know that right now we're trying to, the last part of it I think was we're trying to raise money for four flagpoles for the monument so we can fly four different flags, the American flag and the different branches of the military and stuff around that monument at all times.
Four flagpoles are pretty expensive, aren't they?
Yes, they're pretty expensive, but not too expensive because we're not trying to get.
But
huge
this is
flagpoles.
The public who's helping.
Yes,
I mean,
this is
not
all
dollars.
Of this has been raised through the public. This is people donating money for this that will be here for eternity, and so we've had guys that have gone. People come in just off the street and say, "Here, I'm here to donate $5 or $10 to the monument out there that have come and seen it." So, you know, I highly encourage everybody to come out and check out the monument. We'll be doing the dedication of the monument, the full dedication this year. Everything should be complete.
And that's coming up on 9/11.
On 9/11 this year, we will be doing our ceremonies and stuff on 9/11.
Very good. We have just about a minute left in the program. Any final thoughts from either one of you?
I have one. Mm-hmm. I would like to just do a shout-out to my wife. She is at home on bed rest. Our son shall be born here in a couple of weeks. And so I know she's laying in bed listening to this morning. She told me she was going to. So I just wanted to give a shout-out to her.
So you have a new son on the way.
Oh, you got a baby boy on the way. We'll be here. The due date, the scheduled C-section is August 22nd. His name will be Evan Franklin Arnold, so just kind of waiting for him to get here.
Well, we're looking forward to the good news of his arrival, and we'll have to have a party or something for it. Sheriff Robert Arnold visiting with us this morning, along with Lieutenant Chris Deal. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Now, tomorrow we're going to be talking about lawns and gardens, and with the rainfall that we've been having, maybe your lawn or garden is doing better. I hope so, anyway. We'll be talking about that tomorrow, right here on your good neighbor station, WGNS Murfreesboro. Hey, have a great day. See you tomorrow.